Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
First, waste collection companies have warned that they may increase prices for recycling bin collections to make up for the loss of the plastic bottles and the drinks cans, all due to the deposit return scheme. They say the bottles and the cans are most valuable items in the household green bin, and they're losing millions of euro in sales to the manufacturers since the deposit return scheme began. So the waste company's selling on the waste. There's not enough waste to sell on. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to increase the prices, apparently. Shane Byrne is on the line. Shane, you work in the waste trade. What's your reaction to this?
Hey, Anna. It's kind of, you've got to look at this logically, I suppose, is that the waste companies all, I haven't heard of any waste company that is saying that they're immediately going to increase the prices, but you've got to look at this in that logical way, is that the waste industry, because it's a private industry, decided to subsidize the recycling for the household customer. What it used to subsidize that was, out of the recycling, the two most valuable items. All the recycling that comes in is all separated and is made into product, which is then sold. That money is put back into the company, and that subsidizes the low prices that you see for collecting your recyclables. Now, the two most valuable items, and which are obviously the ones why return have gone for them, are the aluminium cans and the PET, the bottles that you use for drinking water and minerals and things like that. And if you take them out of the household recycling bins, which have happened, they're the two most valuable items. So therefore, the ability to subsidize is massively reduced. And that's the issue, as that it's just logic. It's just, you know, you this is what it was based upon. This was the foundation of the subsidies, and you've taken it away. So logically, at some point, the costs are going to become an issue.
Well, I think people might be surprised, Shane, to realise that, you know, they're valuable materials. So the aluminium cans, your typical kind of drinks can, are worth, when they're recycled indefinitely, which is another big asset, I suppose, to cans, that they can just keep going.
Yeah.
They're worth between 800 and 1400 a ton on the recyclables market. And then the plastic bottles are not quite as valuable, in or around 500, but still 500 euro a ton. So still considered a valuable material.
Yeah, they have a step down life. There's about seven times, they say, material can be recycled, the plastics. But aluminium is a forever material. You can just continue recycling it, which is amazing. But yeah, look, the value, and like the value flip-flops, ups and downs enormously all the time. You know, it all depends on what the market dictates, and it's very hard for companies to, you know, to project ahead of themselves, like to project exactly what, where the costs will be and what we will be getting in. So that's, they try to hedge. They make deals that they go, right, well, X amount of tons for this price, and then after that we'll see where we are. But the whole thing was centered upon those two materials. There's loads of other different materials, the paper, the cardboard, et cetera, et cetera. There's loads of other bits and pieces. But the two most valuable materials are the bottles that we always use and the aluminium cans. And that's going to be a problem at some point. I, as I say, I haven't heard anyone to say just yet that this is around the corner, but at some point it has to happen, because it was a subsidized service.
Okay.
That's
so,
it is. Because we still have to put the trucks out, put the men out. Everything's the exact same as picking up your waste, except obviously when you get the waste product in, that's a far more expensive material to deal with. So there was the ability to make a bit of money when we segregate everything, like we've to put all the equipment and everything together, get that all done. But then there was a product at the end of it that is sold mainly to the EU, and we get a bit back, and that was subsidizing
okay.
the domestic waste.
And what we're seeing in one of the articles today, the waste companies losing up to 15 million a year. It feels like there should have been a discussion maybe before the deposit scheme was introduced. But let's just take Sinead. Sinead is on the line. Sinead, do you mind potentially having to pay a little bit extra? How do you feel about that?
Hi, Anne. How are you? I'll be honest, I'll make a very controversial statement. I don't mind, because, first of all, we hate paying for anything in this country as a collective. Anytime something has to be paid for, I'm not going to obviously go down, there's some, you know, we could go down a rabbit hole with that, but every time there's something to be paid, we don't want to pay for it. We want everything for free. And the way it is, like, we have, as a country and as a society as a whole, and obviously as the planet as well, we have been over-consuming the planet's natural resources at completely unsustainable levels for decades and decades and decades. And here we are now, we have completely trashed the place and we're running out of resources. So these are the consequences of those actions. Now, it's not just, I suppose, I mean, I've always been a believer of the polluter pays. Now, the end user, as in ourselves, the general public, yes, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're separating our waste properly. And of course, there's going to be a charge for recycling because we have to do that. We have to, the circular economy. But it has to be a top down. It can't just be all about the farmers and the end user. The middle bit has to play that part as well. So the food producers, the supermarkets, they have a huge responsibility as well to make sure that, you know, the packaging and everything is sustainable, is recyclable, you know, is user friendly as well. So it's not just about, you know, the end user, which I know is what we're talking about here, but, you know, I've no problem paying extra money for my recycling because it means it's not going to be on my street because the amount of people that just trash my air is just unbelievable. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine paying for it. But everyone has to pay.
Like, but everyone has to pay. It needs to be fair.
Everyone has to pay. Absolutely has to be fair. I'm more than happy to play my part. But everyone has to pay our part. It can't just be, you know, it's all about you. We've wrecked the place. Like, we have, these are the consequences, and that's just it.
So you feel like it's overflowing. Someone else says, I don't buy plastic bottles or cans. I drink tap water. I don't drink beer. Why should I be punished with extra charges when I'm not generating this unnecessary waste? Is that kind of where you're coming from as well, Sinead?
Well, I mean, the paper, it costs money to recycle the paper, or costs money to separate our waste properly. I mean, a lot of people don't even put proper waste into their green bin. The amount of stories you hear about, you know, people putting things into the green bins that are not appropriate, like dirty nappies, you know, soiled materials, they can't be going into your green bin. So someone has to pay to put in machinery to facilitate the separation of that, so what we are recycling is appropriate. I mean, I'm one of those people, any of my soft plastics that go into my into my recycling bin, I make sure they're clean and dry, which means I'm washing my plastics before they go into my bin. And I'm making sure that, you know, what I'm putting in my bin is appropriate to the recycling companies. Not everyone does that. It does take effort and it does take time. And yes, there is going to be a financial cost to that, because someone at the other end has to sort through everything to make sure it's all going into the proper place. So if we're consuming something, there's a cost to that. So yes, that lady is using her tap water, but I'm sure she's still, you know, using some sort of packaging. There's a cereal box maybe that she probably needs to recycle. There's maybe possibly a newspaper, a shoebox, something. There's a cost to all of these things, and we can't just go around thinking everything's for free. Nothing's for free. We've trashed the place. We're running out of resources. You know, we have to grow up and realize
that there's a big educational
piece
around it. No, I get that. Some people do it really well and some don't. Someone else says, aren't the recycling companies getting the bottles and cans for free now anyway from the bottle banks instead of from the consumer? Why are they going now if the recycling companies aren't getting them? Who is getting them? Shane, do you want to comment on that? Do we still have Shane on the line?
Yeah.
People are confused, aren't they? Because they were doing one thing, now they're doing something else. Now they might be paying more for the green bin.
Well, look, this is all based upon the EU targets for recycling. We've signed up for targets a long time ago, that it's 77% recycling by 2025, 90% by 2029. They're the two main targets that's dictating all this. And this is why the governments are jumping in on this and trying to force up. Because, look, we have made unbelievably good recycling progress, as we have, but we're not where we should be. Contamination within the waste industry is huge. As that lady was talking about, people putting the wrong things in the bins. This negates massive amounts of tonnage of the people who are doing it correctly. And unfortunately, that happens right through below it. So we're in the 60s, I think it's very low 60% of recycling rates at the moment. We need to get that up. So this is the government trying to do that. Now, to me, this is almost too little too late. You know, we should have been doing it through education a long, long time ago to get people and incentivizing people to doing it like the private waste industry did, is that they incentivized people to do it by making the recycling collections as cheap as the companies could handle. And this is what's driving it. This is what's making it, the deposit scheme is to make that jump from the 60 up to the 77 so that in 2025 we don't get fined, which unfortunately that is the case. That's the bracket we're in at the moment.
OK, and that's looking likely. Dee joins me on the line in Kerry. Dee, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Anna. I kind of concur with everything that was said. We walk a lot. We cycle, long kilometres, and we always take a bag to pick up. We just stop and pick up bottles and cans. And I mean, it was just somebody said there, and she's dead right. We have to trash the place. We have absolutely, ruined our planet. And picking up stuff, an incredible amount of stuff. And since this has come in Kerry, I mean, the place has changed exponentially. There are no bottles and there are no cans. Okay, there's coffee things and there's other things we pick up, but it's made a massive difference. And if there is a bit extra to pay for all of us, then this is what we have to do. I mean, we're climate laggards. We're in climate catastrophe. So, if we have to pay a bit extra, then let's pay a bit extra.
So you think the deposit return scheme is working? It's cleaned up the place?
Oh. Yes, I can see it.
Yeah,
and I mean, there is no question. And I mean, I'm on the roads. I'm out in the kilometres. I'm hill walking. I'm running. I'm cycling. And it's this miraculous thing has happened. They have all disappeared. It's incredible.
There's an incentive. I know in my house, Dee, my young boys are lining up the bags because there's a bit of pocket money attached to this. So there's an incentive to bring it back. But actually, I quite like the idea that they have a little job. They get a few bob from it. It's, it feels like a very positive thing. We have Garrett on the line here too. Garrett, you've been waiting a while. What are your thoughts?
As night follows day, I knew that the recycle companies were using the profits from the aluminium and the Tetra Paks, or not the Tetra Paks, from the plastic bottles mm-hmm. to help bring down the cost of the bins. Now, there is one idea that I actually have come up with, that a way to actually negate the rise in the price of the recycling bins. The return scheme is actually a non-for-profit scheme. Now, the bottles that don't actually get returned, I presume some of those are going to be lost just in the wilderness from people throwing them out and just not getting found or going into general waste. But some of it does go into the regular recycling bins. So the companies do get a little bit from that. But the ones that don't actually go back through and actually get the 15 cent or 25 cent back, there could be a small amount of the non-returned stuff could actually be given to the recycling companies that are now missing out on this to help them keep the price of the recycle bin down. Like, I know there are some people saying, well, now I'm just not going to use the recycle bin, but that's like shooting yourself in the foot. It doesn't solve your problem. It just makes it worse because you're going to use your general waste bin and that's done by weight. So you're just adding to your weight and adding to your cost. At least the recycle bin, I think, should be kept at a lower rate. In counties, I know it's done differently. It may be done by weight, but there would be an advantage to keeping it as low as possible, the cost of the lifts for those bins for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they could use the cans that don't get returned, that 15, 25 cent that does get pocketed into the scheme that they are using to help fund the scheme. But we, from what I just checked there, it's 1.7 billion bottles have a year is what we're projected to use. So I know that they're saying 200 million or so many million have actually been put back into it. But at the end of the year, if we get 50 or 60%, there's still a huge portion out there. So there is a certain amount of money that might be able to be reallocated to the companies to help them keep the cost of the bins down.
Of course, it needs to work for everyone, doesn't it? The waste companies are concerned about losing up to 15 million euro a year is what's been said. Nora's on the line. Would you agree, Nora? Have we got Nora?
Hello, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It was up.
No problem.
Yeah, we're older. We're both 66 and 72. One of us has Parkinson's. Now, I just did my shopping in Tesco this morning and I noticed that a tube of toothpaste was 4.20 in cardboard. mean, everything is so expensive. We don't drink any cans, minerals, any kind of cans. We don't drink alcohol. I mean, we don't buy a bottled water. We pay for it. We have tap water. We're very strict with ourselves. My husband on good days will go out for a walk in the parks, and he comes home with empty bottles, which we then collect and give to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So if our bill goes up, that means a lot to us. We don't get anything for free because I have a small pension of my own. Young women today aren't the only ones who had to work. I had to work all my life to help pay the mortgage.
Of course.
And it was when the interest rates were 17% back in the 80s. So, I mean, we're doing, and we go out and collect all kinds of rubbish, not just bottles. We keep the place tidy.
Yeah, you're doing your bit.
If we don't, I mean, I use public transport whenever we can. So what we're going to do, if that charge comes in, we won't use the recycling bin. We'll do something else. I mean, we'll still. I know the companies are sorry; they have to make a profit.
Of course.
But, I mean, we have to look after ourselves as well. So, I mean, we're lucky enough to live not too far from a recycling centre that we will use. Or I was even tempted to take all the cardboard out of my shopping and leave it in the trolley at Tesco or Super Value. So I don't know. We just can't afford to keep paying all these high bills.
Of course. So you're thinking another price increase, we're going to have to get creative.
Price increase. Yeah, the food hasn't gone down. Electricity, fuel costs have come down. It hasn't been passed on to the supermarkets, I don't think, or the food producers. I just don't know where it's going to end.
Yeah, and it's a worry. I know it is another bill at times when everything else is going up.
We still have a mortgage because we had to add on an extra room to our house. We couldn't find a bungalow anywhere to move to within our GP area or doctors. I mean, I don't know what older people are going to do.
It's very tough. Absolutely, I understand.
Yeah. So that's what we will do. We won't pay the recycling bin.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. Damien, what are your thoughts on this? It's annoyed you.
How are you doing? Yeah.
Hi.
I suppose it's an unintended consequence of this. I suppose going back, I was annoyed at this initiative anyway because I always recycled and had a recycling bin. And, you know, this whole thing, it changed my shopping habits.
Is it the deposit return scheme that annoyed you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is the catalyst for the discussion today. But I mean, I changed my shopping habits. I moved to Tetra Pak instead of bottles for orange juice and cut out things and cans. Now, look, I still buy some stuff, but I've minimised it. That wasn't a conscious environmental move. That was just because, this is really awkward. And I was telling your researcher earlier, as ironic as it can be to walk along and see these cans and bottles discarded by the very people who were always discarding them anyway. I saw a piece of paper on a walk yesterday with my dog, which was a deposit return scheme slip for 15 cents. So now we're creating even more rubbish now because the pieces of paper are being dumped.
This was the actual receipt that you bring in to get the money back?
I meant to take a picture of it, the irony, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Of this whole thing. But I mean, again, like your last caller, it's really annoying. I don't blame the refuse collection companies, you know, they're a private company. They have to do what they have to do. But, I mean, you know, some of the statistics that come out as well are questionable. You know, they laud themselves on this much stuff recycled, you know, this much stuff returned. But, you know, what's the total figure? How many bottles and cans were sold in the first half of the year versus what came back in through the scheme, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
It's just really annoying for those of us that were already doing this. I mean, it's like, I'm going to go off point here, but it's like when people talk about increasing fines for people that don't pick up after their dogs.
Yes, I know. You've played
the people
ball.
That won't pick, yeah. The people that don't pick up won't ever pick up if it's €1 million of a fine. You know, these things just squeeze in on those of us that we're doing our bit anyway. So I don't blame the refuse companies. I think it's annoying for us, certainly. The overall thing.
It needs to work for everyone. You're absolutely right. Damien, thank you very much for joining us. We do have a statement just before we finish this item from the Irish Waste Management Association. They are in discussion with the Department of Environment, Climate and Communications at present, but it is not able to make any public comments on prices at the moment. They say new legislation in September 2023 imposing a levy on waste and further legislation in late 2023 regarding brown bins, both added costs that have likely had an effect this year. But the deposit return scheme and any issues related to it are a separate matter. So that's just in from the Irish Waste Management Association. Thank you, Shane Byrne, and thank you to all our callers on that. No doubt we'll be returning to it.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.